Have you ever searched for the perfect place to hide? When you were a kid, did you ever play hide and seek? In the woods across the street from your house? Maybe in the apartment complex you lived in? Everybody would be looking for you, but you were in that perfect spot where nobody could find you. I grew up in church. The church was our playground. We were always at church. Some things never change. I had two brothers. And that church building was our playground. People, we would have friends come over and spend the night. We all played at church because we were always at church. Rarely do I remember actually being at home. We would hide all over the church. It was different in its configuration. We had a balcony, but it wasn't like this. It was a choir loft up in the back where they hung all the church robes. There were stained glass windows. There was a little spot in the left-hand closet. The robes over there were for the taller people, I guess. And they hung all the way down to the floor. And I could get back inside there. And I could stand, and nobody could find me. They'd come right up, open the doors, they're right there. My heart would pound. I can remember it, still today. And I would close my eyes, and I would hold my breath, and I would disappear. And then they would leave. And I would never come out till everybody else had been found, and they were all downstairs because I never wanted to reveal where my hiding spot was. I've never told anybody till today. I can still smell the fabric because, you know, you're right up next to the ropes. I grew up. I don't play hide and seek anymore. But there are times I still need to be alone. I need to take a break. I need to pause. I need to regroup. I need solace in the midst of the storm. Because life is a whirlwind for all of us. Sometimes it's brutal. It's demanding. And if we're not careful, it'll overwhelm us. Your job, your friendships, your family, your spouse, it all loads up on top of your shoulders. And no matter how early we get up and no matter how late we work, we can't jam it all in. We can't get it all done. We drop into bed at the end of the day, absolutely exhausted, and just before we close our eyes, we whisper, "Lord, watch over me, watch over my family, keep us safe." And we fall asleep, and the next thing we know, we wake up and we do it all over again. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Our text is found in Psalm 91. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit here today in our midst. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that every part of it is true. I thank you that it contains no errors, that it is your holy word. Father, help us for the next few moments to set aside all the distractions of this week, to clear them from our mind and focus on what you have to say to us. Lord, I ask you to take a coal from off your altar and touch my lips. Purify this vessel. Cleanse me, Lord, for I am unworthy to stand here. I ask for your anointing. I ask you that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. It's been said that Psalm 91 is the greatest psalm of the saints. Only one other psalm comes close to being as memorized and quoted as this one. We don't know who the author is. Some scholars believe that Moses wrote it because he wrote Psalm 90. And this one isn't attributed to anyone. And so normally what they assume is that the one that follows was written by the one who wrote the previous. But there are other scholars that think it was David. Here's what I can tell you. The person who wrote this psalm loved God with all their hearts. He begins this psalm in a very unusual way. In fact, the syntax, the first person, second person that switches back and forth in this psalm confuses even the greatest scholars. Some think it's a conversation going on between different people. He begins in the second person. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then it's first person. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. They can worry about first and second person all they want. In those two verses, four times, He names the Lord. And each time He does it, He changes the name. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, Elyon, the Supreme, the One surpassing all others, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, Shaddai, the All-Powerful One. I will say of the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Elohim, the Creator of the universe and all that is in it. I don't read Hebrew, I study it, but I'm going to put a little bit in here so you can grasp what he's talking about. He that dwelleth in the secret place of Elyon shall abide under the shadow of Shaddai. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim. In Him will I trust. People all over the world are familiar with this text. It's quoted by Christians everywhere. We've used it time and again to encourage ourselves and to encourage others. But there's a stark reality to this psalm. It doesn't apply to everybody. This psalm, so grand, in the center of our scripture, standing high above the other psalms, it clearly states that there are conditions to its promises. There's no application in these verses for anyone who does not believe in God. No application to those who deny He exists. In fact, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can't experience anything that's contained in these words. But it doesn't stop there. This is going to shock you. Not all believers make this passage available to them. Verse 1 is a statement of fact. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a statement of truth. There's no variance to it. There's no additional criteria. It says, He that dwelleth shall abide. There's no wiggle room. Abide in the secret place, in the shadow of the Almighty. That word secret in the Hebrew comes from the root word sether. It means to hide or conceal. It's used throughout the Old Testament. It describes different things that are hidden. David used it when he described being formed in his mother's womb. Psalm 139:15 says, My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Used for the physical, but also used for the spiritual. Psalm 32:7, You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Psalm 27, verse 5, He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon the rock. But this word in Psalm 91 is different. It's Be-Seter. It is God's covert hiding place. Under the Old Covenant, God's place within the Holy of Holies, behind the veil, unviewable, fully concealed from all mankind, except one time a year, by one man, for one moment in time. He would purify Himself. He would offer a sacrifice. He would pour incense. And then He would step within the veil. Stand before the cherubim, sprinkle blood on the Ark of the Covenant, and the Shekinah glory of God would descend. It would fill the Holy of Holies. But here in Psalm 91, it's not talking about that. The writer of this psalm is speaking about a completely different location. And that location is not contained in four walls. It's not curtained with royal curtains. It contains no golden pieces used for the temple. He calls it the secret place of Elyon. And that begs the question, where is God's secret place? Jesus gives us the answer. It's contained in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Jesus wasn't speaking about a physical room. He was speaking of our hearts. He meant shutting out all the distractions, all the worries, all the pressures, all of the emotions of all the things that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis and taking time to commune with Almighty God. I'm not talking about driving down the street and saying a prayer. I'm not talking about working and praying as you work. I'm not talking about taking care of any of the day-to-day things and saying a prayer. I heard a pastor here in town say this, I'm so busy I just use arrow prayers. God help us. This isn't laying in bed at night with your head on the pillow and just before you fall asleep, saying one last prayer and closing your eyes and hoping that works. This is talking about taking time to get into the secret place that God Himself resides in and spending time with Him. Over and over again in the New Testament, you see Jesus doing this very thing. He's with the disciples and He goes off alone to pray. On the Mount of Transfiguration, in Gethsemane, after He fed the 5,000, it didn't matter. He would go off by Himself so He could commune with His Father. Separated. Specifically engaging with God Almighty. There are lots of people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior who have never been in the secret place. I know. You say, this is hard. I agree. But if we want God to move in our lives, this is what we have to do. This is the commitment that we have to make. We have to find His secret place and go there. It takes time to get to know who He is. It takes time to build a relationship. 26 years ago, I walked down a street in Anchorage. I looked through a window in a store, and I saw a woman standing there, working on a clothing rack. And I looked and I thought, I need to get to know that lady. It took months for me to get up the courage to go in and ask her out. But once she agreed, and we went to our second date, it was coffee, lunch. For 30 days in a row, I met her every morning at 10 o'clock for coffee. Why? Because I wanted to get to know her. I wanted to be in relationship with her. I wanted to find out who she was, what she did, what she liked, what she didn't. I sat down with her at the first lunch. Thank goodness I had left my cell phone in the car. She had matzo ball soup. It was June the 6th. I remember it like yesterday. We were sitting there talking. Some guy's phone rang and she said, "Man, I hate cell phones." I ran a company that was on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I carried it with me all the time. But that day, I had left it in the car. I wanted to get to know her, so I took time. I dated her for a year before I married her to make for sure this was the one. I had to spend time alone with her. I had to go for walks with her. I had to take her places. I had to buy her dinner. I had to take time so that I got to know who she was, and I fell in love with her. Relationship. It's what it's all about. If you want to really know God and who He is, you have to spend time with Him. You can't do it outside the secret place. But that's where most believers are. They're in the holy place. They struggle from day to day to day to move forward in their Christian walk, but they can't quite get where they need to be. It's a struggle all the time. They've been washed. They've been cleansed. They've offered prayers of thanksgiving, but they're still standing outside the Holy of Holies. They know the veil's been torn in two, but they've never entered in. They've never gone beyond that precipice that takes full commitment. They've never stood between the cherubim. They've never fallen on their faces before the mercy seat. They've never wept until it's just the groans from within you that only the Holy Spirit can understand, and He intercedes for you to the Father. It's not just coming to church on Sunday mornings. It's not participating in our worship services. It's not just feeling the power of God come down and course through us. It's spending time alone where you can intercede with Him. Tell Him everything that's going on inside. Lay yourself bare and let Him know you. And when you do, you will know Him. And the Shekinah glory of God will fill the space where you are. We need corporate prayer. We must take time to be together. But we have to dwell in the secret place. We have to be alone with the Almighty One. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That word abide is zetlonon. It's only used here. It means to lodge. It means to go in, lay down, and rest under the shadow of the Almighty. That cloud that stood over the children of Israel, that followed them every day as they traveled, it blocked the sun. God used it to block armies. Read it. The power of God moving because one man would meet with God face to face. Yes, he saw his hinder parts, but we can engage with God. It's not some ethereal thing. He is real. He's among us. He works in our lives. He's changed us, and He's begging us to come to another place. Instantly, after these two verses, the writer switches to the first person. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He takes ownership. All of a sudden, it's no longer He, it's no longer we, it's no longer they, it's my God. And I'll trust. When we are in the secret place, we're lodging in the shadow of Shaddai. We have peace because He is our refuge. We're protected because He is our fortress. And we have absolute trust in Him. When you're in the secret place, you can pray about anything you want. You can talk to Him about any doubt you have. You can tell Him anything that's going on. And then you need to be quiet and hear what He has to say. Prayer is not a one-way thing. Prayer is communication. You're in conversation with God. Be still and hear what He has to say. You won't be disappointed if you're in the secret place. And there'll be absolute trust. I said it wasn't the room made with human hands. It's a room within us where He resides. When you step into that room, you have to separate yourself from everything outside. It may mean that you have to go someplace physical so that you can get someplace spiritual. With everything that's going on around you, with all of the load you carry, you cannot sacrifice the time that it takes to commune with Almighty God in His secret place. The writer goes on for 11 verses. He outlines God's protections for those that are in the secret place. Every one of those verses applies to our spiritual lives. Yes, they can provide protection for us physically, but this is all about spiritual engagement within our hearts. Absolute protection when we spend time alone with God, when we are in relationship with Him. This is what He says. He will deliver us from the snare of the enemy. He will cover us with His wings. We don't have to be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows of the enemy to injure us spiritually by day. And when the attack of the enemy comes to torment us, He's there. When the fears and the worries that overwhelm us try to keep us awake at night, when we go to sleep, or when it's raining arrows down on us at noonday, this passage says He is our shield and our buckler. But you have to be alone with Him in His secret place. When temptation comes, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. He's not talking about battle where we're out fighting. We don't do that. But I got to tell you, on a daily basis, we're pummeled by what Satan sends our way. But if we spent time in the secret place, this is the psalm Satan quoted when he tempted Jesus. He knows it by heart. It scares him to death. Jesus turned around and took Scripture and defeated the enemy. Spend time in the book. It'll protect you. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, thy dwelling place. He takes it, and now He's talking to us. In the shadow of Shaddai, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. That's victory in Jesus. That's the overcoming life. That's eternal life now. It is where He wants us when we spend time in His secret place. When we shut everything out, when we begin to know Him as He really is, and we let Him know who we really are. He goes to battle for us. He brings all of heaven to bear on our behalf. The angels outnumber the evil spirits 2-1. And then there's 2 archangels for Satan. And that doesn't even include God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Satan doesn't have a chance. Satan can't find us when we're in God's secret place. Remember how you felt when you were in that spot as a little kid? Step into the Holy of Holies and disappear into God's amazing. And then verse 14, I'll let you figure out who writes this. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. 7 times God speaks. These are the promises of being in the secret place. I never minded taking off in the middle of the day to go meet that lady for coffee. I'll tell you just how much. I was at lunch with the guy I worked with. I was at a fancy French restaurant. And I had just taken the first bite of my food, and the phone rang, because she figured out I had a cell phone. He's sitting there with me. I'm talking, yes, okay, sure, I'll be glad to meet you. Now? Of course. His name was Charlie. He looked at me and he goes, I know, you're leaving. I paid for 2 lunches. Why? Because I couldn't wait to be with her. It didn't matter how late I had to work, what else I had to do, what else was going on, I could make adjustments. I don't care how hard you're working. I don't care how much the job demands. I don't care how much the family pulls on you and time seems like it's not available. Take the time. It's the only way you can have these promises fulfilled in your life. This psalm is conditional upon finding that spot and being in the secret place of the Most High God. Step behind the curtain. I'll rephrase. Step through the curtain. It's been torn in two. Walk in. Take the step. Make the commitment and see what God does in your life. He longs for you to be there. That's the cry of this psalm. Go beyond believing. I'll say it again. Go beyond believing. Search and find God's secret place. Step inside, shut the door, fall on your knees, and turn your eyes on Jesus and commune with Jehovah. Let's bow our heads.